The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Hello, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whatever time it is that you're listening. For me, it is, late afternoon. It's like 4:10 p.m. right now. I just stepped away from watching Buffalo and Miami playing a wild card game. And it wasn't quite the end of the game, but it seemed to me that Miami ran out of time. They really weren't going to be able to come around and beat Buffalo, which I was hoping for, because if they can take Buffalo out of the playoffs, then that's one big chance the Chiefs have to advance, I think, to the Super Bowl. But really, I think our biggest threats were Buffalo, of course, and then the Chargers, with the Chargers actually lost the Jacksonville Jaguars yesterday. As of time of reporting here on a Sunday, but yeah, they lost on a Saturday. And so I was thinking, hey, you know, if we can get rid of Buffalo, the two teams I was really concerned about for the Chiefs getting to the Super Bowl were definitely the Chargers and the Buffalo Bills. So, but it looks like the Buffalo Bills are going to advance. I need to look up some stuff, see who the Chiefs are playing, but this isn't a show about football. I was just, you know, that's what I've been doing today as we get in there. So I'm kind of hoping the Chiefs are going to manage to get another Super Bowl run in there. It's been a kind of a rough season for us this year. So are you rooting for your team still going on in the playoffs? Are you, or did you even care? I don't know. Let me know. Send us an email, podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. Today, though, it's going to be a different sort of show. It's going to be a lot more casual. I'm going to spend, I think, more time talking about some games and what I've been playing and just kind of talk to you a bit. I was sort of prepping to maybe try to do a show last weekend because I would like to get back to where I'm doing an every weekend show. Things kind of went a little wrong there because Philip could not make it into a show at any point. He was pretty sick there for a while. I think he's much better now, but I haven't really had time to coordinate with him. So I'm just going to do a solo show today, and so we're just going to spend a little time together. You know, you've wanted to spend some time with me, haven't you? Haven't you? Really? Haven't you? I hope. But that's pretty much what we're going to do. I'm just going to spend some time talking at you. So the funny thing is, all right, so you normally I start the show with what have you been watching and what have you been playing? Well, I haven't been really watching anything because I've been too busy playing. I've got a backlog of games, and I meant while I was off on my Christmas vacation to catch up on my backlog of games, but things didn't work out that way. And I may have discussed that a little bit in the last show when we were doing our year in review, but I'm going to talk about that a little bit more, and that'll be kind of a main focal topic of what I've been playing and some of my thoughts. I've had some reviews on, gone through at least two different games, and I'm working my way through a third right now. And there should be fun things to talk about here on the show, so I'm saving those for later. So what am I going to do instead here is move right on to some news.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
Something for all of you, I guess this has already been released. Got a thing that popped up in my way there when I was trying to look at this. But Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge has popped up as an Android and Apple from Tribute Games. So I guess this means it's available to play on your mobile device. But I haven't really looked into this. This has come out on the 10th. I've also heard that there's supposed to be some updates coming on this very, very soon. I don't have a whole lot of information about this, but I noticed that IGN was talking about this as a newer game and had it listed for Android and Apple. So I'm figuring this must mean that there is a mobile version of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge. I was seeing something online, or at least on my PlayStation, they were talking about some sort of an update coming. I haven't seen that update happen yet. I have heard that the Cowabunga Collection, however, has gotten some update where they'll have a little bit more online play on some of the other games that did not feature it before. I believe we're talking Turtles in Time. I saw a little something. I didn't really get a chance to grab anything about it to have any better information for you. I apologize for that. But definitely, if you don't have a system to play that game on, but you do have a phone, give it a shot. I don't know how good that would be on a phone, but it's a fun game. It might be hard to work on a phone. I'm not too good at playing things like that, of that nature, on my phone. You know, I play Solitaire and I play Wordle, you know, on my phone just a little bit every day. But coming up later this month, Forspoken coming out for the PlayStation. I think mainly PlayStation 5. I'm not sure if PlayStation 4 is getting this game or not. Also going to be available on PC. This is coming out. It is a Square Enix game. The look of it is impressive. There has been a demo out on the PS5. I tried it out, though. I had a hard time with the gameplay, and then I fell off of a bridge and had no idea how to get back. So I don't know how much I'm looking forward to this game necessarily, because like the demo didn't really impress me. But I mean, it looks great, and it's a different sort of a combat system. I found it difficult to wrap my head around, I guess. But there's a lot of people excited about this. I'm going to see how people respond to it when the final release, because sometimes the demo version is a little different from the final release of a game. But Forspoken is supposed to come out January 24th, and I bet some of you are actually looking forward to that. You've probably heard of this game. There's been a lot of talk going on about this game for quite some time. Also, we've got a remake of the, sci-fi horror classic. Are we going to call it that? Dead Space. Coming to the Xbox systems, PC, and PlayStation on January the 27th. Now, I recall playing a demo back on my Xbox 360 way back in those days of Dead Space, and I couldn't quite get into it. I didn't understand the concept that you're supposed to blast the limbs off the monsters. Because I was trying to play it like a Resident Evil game, and it wasn't working, and I was getting frustrated. Like, this doesn't seem to work. I don't like this. And it wasn't until later. I mean, there's been a whole series of games. There's been a lot of big fans of this game, and I thought, well, maybe I need to give this another go, but I don't think it's streaming anywhere. You know, I have the PlayStation Plus full membership. You know, I'm paying $17.99 for the whole package deal. But I don't believe that you can play the original. I think you can play like Dead Space 3, which apparently was more of an action style game. It was a very different one. But here, this remake is coming, and I might look into it. I mean, that's not something we normally cover on this show, because it's a very dark and a horror type of thing, and we usually don't go that direction for films, but I don't know, games to me seem a little different, but yeah. Yeah, okay, so moving on. All right, I got another thing here. Brand Portal from Gameloft. Where are we going? Here we go. Collections, Disney Dreamlight Valley. There was a release update here recently. There was a lot of things for holidays for those of you playing Disney Dreamlight Valley, which, by the way, we're going to talk about this a bit later. But I did find a page for Gameloft here, and that's why I was reading off the Brand Portal. They released an update letting everybody know that they've got Buzz Lightyear Woody recently released, and also Stitch has recently been released to the game. So if you are somebody who maybe was playing it beforehand, didn't they launch this thing like September, October? If you were playing then, and you've done everything that you could think to do, and then you walked away, you want to come back and check out some of the new characters that are popping up. And that's actually kind of the point where I'm at, and I'm going to get into that here also a little bit later. Ooh, looky there. I have some great audio for you here. They were talking to the Cal Kestis actor, if you know what I'm talking about. Here we go. Star Wars Jedi Survivor, Cameron Monaghan, talking about the game, March 17th, 2023.
The Star Wars Galaxy at this time is at an extremely dark point. And the situation for a Jedi has never been worse than what it is for Cal. So he's looking for any way to affect change, to survive, to protect the things that he cares about, and that's becoming increasingly difficult. And I think Cal is at this point where he is even questioning how it is that he's supposed to proceed and what his next move should be. And so when an opportunity seemingly presents itself for him, he's going to throw himself at it full force. And that's kind of what launches us into our story. Yeah, I think that a lot of the story of the first game was what happens when you lose your family and how can you find a new one for yourself. With this story, we say, okay, you have a family, but when the circumstances around you change, what happens when you all have different opinions on how to deal with that, those circumstances? What happens when you put strain on a family and on your relationships? What does that look like for these characters and their interactions? And of course, over the course of our story, we find new characters, new interactions, and we really continue to open up, Cal's relationships as well. There's a bunch of new characters that I really like what they do to shift the kind of the dynamic in the story. And in our first story, we had someone who was kind of a boy becoming a man. He doesn't have a safety net, is what I guess I can say. You know, that's a part of adulthood is you have to live with the decisions that you make, and it's challenging, and you can be affected by them, and they can haunt you. We have a really interesting story with Cal where he's faced with challenges that are difficult, and there's not necessarily any right answers. And it's something that I always really wanted to explore with the character. It was a conversation that we had immediately after the first game was, how do we put this character in situations that are challenging? And what are the ones that are really going to push him to the point where he might break? How do we get him to that point? And what do we do from there? And what is the story that will be the most exciting? And where we can still find adventure, but also find something that is deeper and darker and more intricate and complex. So, yeah, I think that we have a bunch of really big questions that we're asking with this one. It's funny because it's like, it's this dual-sided thing, right? You have an established lore, character, canon, all this stuff, and you're so excited about it and you love it, but also at the end of the day, this needs to exist and be satisfying and interesting regardless of this, right? And you want to be able to have them interact with each other have an interplay, but you also, it's always been important with me with our stories that the drama, the stakes, the characters should be clear regardless of whether or not you have any understanding of anything outside of it. And I want anybody who's never watched a Star Wars movie, read a Star Wars story, anything like that, to be able to jump into this and play it and still be able to understand it. And then, if you do have, more experience understanding, then you're only going to have a deepened appreciation of a lot of what's going on here. And Lucasfilm were really generous and always adding input, explaining, and helping us find our footing and where the story should be and where it should live. But yeah, it's always been really really important to me to make sure that our story is satisfying on its own. And stands on its own two feet, and that being the priority.
All right, so this was posted by Game Informer to their YouTube page. Once again, it's an interview with actor Cameron Monaghan, who plays Cal Kestis in Star Wars Jedi Survivor. We've previously seen him in Fallen Order. And, I find it interesting his talk of, trying to find a way to tell a compelling story that has to exist somewhere and get how it can interplay with the established canon that we have already with Star Wars. You want to have a story that new fans can come in and play, and maybe they've not seen Star Wars. Odds are, I don't know why they would. Well, other than it being, interesting and a good game. I mean, it's a good game. So I don't see what they would be interested in playing the game if they've never seen a Star Wars film, though. I mean, it's not like you've never heard of Star Wars by the time you get to where you're going to play a game like this, right? So I seriously doubt that would be a factor. But getting these stories to interlace in with established canon and the stories we know, that would be an interesting thing with trying to write stories and bring stories in there now. And now there's more of a brain trust that kind of keeps an eye on everything. Now, this almost by now, this is almost old news. This is coming from Breitbart. DeSantis-backed plan would replace Disney World's self-rule with state oversight under the same laws as everyone else. So some of the story, and I guess I could play audio of it, but I won't. So Florida isn't backing down from its intention to strip Walt Disney World of its self-governing status following Disney's decision to pick a political fight with Governor Ron DeSantis last year over the state's anti-grooming parental rights and education law. For those of you who might remember some of this, basically, the state of Florida was saying, hey, you know, around a certain age, there's certain things that don't belong in the class. Well, heck, there's a lot of stuff that don't belong in a classroom. But they're around that certain age, so like, no, that's... That is not an area that we feel comfortable with you. Some things you're not comfortable with bringing into the school, especially like a six-year-old should not be dealing with these issues. I don't want to get too far into it. But, of course, you know, Disney said, well, hey, we're going to stand up to that. Now, Disney has always had like a self-governance. They were, you know, they kind of had worked out things with the state of Florida, and Walt had kind of worked some things, and Florida was glad to have them. But I mean, I think we saw some of this also happen a bit in California, where California, you know, was like, hey, you know what, you've been getting a lot of tax-free benefits over here, and we need to alter that. Well, something similar to that is actually happening now, I guess, in Florida, where basically Disney's just going to have to follow the same rules as everyone else. And Disney, in its own way, has been in a bit of a decline. The stock's been going down. I don't know if they've managed to turn that around, and I don't know if things are really going to be changing just because Bob Iger's back. And frankly, I'm not covering Disney so much anymore. I just found it to be interesting that they spoke up. It's like, okay, if you want to be able to have a point of view and jump into stuff just like every other, you know, business would have, then you're going to have to follow the same rules as the other businesses in this state. So I'm going to like to see how this is going to play itself out. But here was some interesting things. So Disney, I mean, their biggest competition is clearly Universal. I'm going to be limited on what I can see out of Bloomberg. But there was an announcement that Universal is actually building a new family resort in Texas and in Las Vegas, a horror attraction. Now, right now, this one is going to be a family-focused resort aimed specifically at younger kids on 97 acres of land that they've acquired in a Dallas suburb, Frisco, Texas. And this is going to have some rides, shows, and a hotel, character meet and greets, and everything. This would also, of course, include Minions and Shrek, which, of course, is very popular among the kids. They have 20 acres 110 square feet added to Anchor, and then 10 and a 20-acre expansion on Area 15. And that's a year-round horror-focused destination in Las Vegas. This could actually be very popular. I mean, they're very well known for doing the Hollywood Horror Nights and that kind of a thing. So this, I think, is going to work out pretty well for Universal. In fact, recently, Universal just opened. I think, isn't Florida supposed to get one, too? But Hollywood, I've been seeing a lot of footage of the Hollywood Nintendo World opening up in Universal, and there's just some neat stuff, and having this great Super Mario area is going to go gangbusters when this movie comes out. But I mean, the stuff they have in that park is just fantastic. But Universal has really got some great licensed properties and some really good stuff popping up, and having another park in the Midwest, and yeah, I guess going south in Texas, you'll have better weather. I always said Disney should have built a park here in Kansas City, and they almost built one in Marceline. It would have been nice if that would happen here in one of Disney's hometowns here, but that's okay. You know, we didn't get it, but Universal is going to have something, you know, a little closer. So maybe they get that built up. I don't know if they'll get a Harry Potter park going on down there in Texas. I don't know what all the plan is, but if they build that Nintendo area, I mean, if they put everything in there in Texas, like what they would have in Florida and Hollywood, and I mean, that's probably an easier airfare for me to get down to Frisco, Texas. So I would say that's probably, I'm going to say that's a good thing.
Mama, now the gator got in the house.
Now the gator? Give me that sugar. Come here.
Get him, Mom. Get that gator.
The Neverland Trailer Park.
You know, I almost forgot before I got in the trailer park, I wanted to go through the Golden Globes, but we'll talk about that later. That's more than news, I guess, right? Let's go listen in to some trailers, starting out with a new trailer that was released for Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania.
You're an interesting man, Scott Lang. You're an Avenger. You have a daughter. But you've lost a lot of time, like me. We can help each other with that. Who are you? I'm the man who can give you the one thing you want.
What's that?
Time.
I can rewrite existence and shatter timelines. You cannot trust him.
I don't care who this guy is. I just lost so much. He can give us a second chance.
Let me make this easy for you. You will bring me what I need. Or everything you call a life will end. You may not want her to watch this.
We had a deal.
You thought you could win.
I don't have to win. We both just have to lose.
I'm sorry, Cassie.
February 17th, witness the beginning of a new dynasty. This looks very interesting. I got to say, I'm appreciating getting a couple of brief looks at MODOK appearing in this. I have heard some say that this trailer almost gives away a little too much. We know that Scott Lang has lost some time with his daughter thanks to being blipped. Well, Kang the Conqueror comes along and offers him a deal and a chance to get some of that time back. So, as we also are told, Kang's not going to keep that promise and that deal. Well, did you expect him to? But they don't tell us though what it is that Ant-Man is going after for Kang the Conqueror. So we don't know what he's going after. Something having to do within the quantum realm. From what little bit I have heard, there's been some information and. We know that at least reshoots do happen, and apparently there are some recent reshoots that have been going on here, and some knowledge of it, some news has popped around that it could be that they're trying to add a bit more humor, that maybe the story was a little darker than they expected, and I've seen some concerned that the current style of Marvel films has almost been a little too goofy and with cheap laughs. And there are people who are worried that they might be adding a lot of cheap laughs, and that would kind of hurt the film. And right now, apparently, it is not going to, what is it, Peyton Reed, I guess, who's been bringing us these? That right now, the current version is going away from Peyton Reed's vision of what this film was supposed to be. But we'll find out here come February the 17th. It still, I think, looks very interesting. I've enjoyed the Ant-Man and even the Wasp films. The one thing I do wonder about is where they're going with it, with bringing in his daughter Cassie and turning her into a super genius. I don't know where she gets that from. I hope they explain that a little better. I mean, we did miss some years of her life, but, her being able to create a way into the quantum realm, I don't know. It's like, where is she going to have learned it? Because I don't know how much of it. Even Scott Lang doesn't really know all this stuff very well. But I don't know. Maybe Wasp is supposed to be teaching her, and they establish that Wasp is supposed to be familiar. I don't see Hank popping up anywhere in this trailer. I'm sure he's there, but in this particular trailer, I don't see him. But I wonder if we're seeing the swan song in the final act of Scott Lang's Ant-Man, and some or other Cassie will be stepping into the role of an Ant-Woman. I don't know. But I part of me kind of thinks that that's happening. So we'll just see where they go with this here in February. All right, next trailer I have for you is something that I don't know if it's going to be an R-rated film or not, but this just looked interesting enough that I wanted to share it. It's called Renfield.
Sorry to interrupt.
Are you okay? I need to get out of a toxic relationship.
Why don't you start by telling us what brought you here?
My boss
He's different.
You can't get him out of your head.
No.
I need your assistance.
I'm coming, Master!
Oh, you feel like he could destroy you with the snap of his fingers?
Wouldn't even need to snap.
Okay.
Uh-huh, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, what?
Renfield. Bring in innocent victims. I want a handful of nuns, a busload of cheerleaders.
And I just want a normal life again. But this modern world is a dangerous place.
Thank you. You saved my life. Did I watch you cut a guy with a decorative serving platter?
It's all in the wrist.
Let me explain.
My boss gave me this power. In return, I tend to his needs, including care, feeding.
You bring him people to eat? You're like the guy that gets the villain's Postmates.
But if you were to stop focusing on his needs, what would happen?
He won't grow to full power.
Exactly. He won't grow to full power. What? That's so weird. Why would you phrase it like that? But yes. Hi. Are you here for the meeting? Well, come on.
No! Down. No!
Some call me the Dark One. Others, the Lord of Death. To most, I am Dracula.
Okay. Obviously, we're dealing with a little bit more than just narcissism here.
Let's eat.
April 14th, Renfield. And here's the description we have here on the Universal Pictures official channel. Evil doesn't span eternity without a little help. In this modern monster tale of Dracula's loyal servant, Nicholas Holt from Mad Max Fury Road and the X-Men franchise, I believe he's played Beast in the more recent films, he stars as Renfield, the tortured aide to history's most narcissistic boss, Dracula, played by Nicolas Cage. Heck yeah, I love this. Renfield is forced to procure his master's prey and do his every bidding, no matter how debased. But now, after centuries of servitude, Renfield is ready to see if there's a life outside the shadow of the Prince of Darkness, if he can only figure out a way how to end his codependency. Renfield's directed by Chris McKay, known for Tomorrow War and the Lego Batman movie, from a screenplay by Ryan Ridley from the Ghosted series and the Rick and Morty series, based on original idea by The Walking Dead and Invincible creator Robert Kirkman. The film co-stars Awkwafina. I'm sure we know her. She was in Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings. Ben Schwartz, he's Sonic, you know, and also the After Party. And Adrian Martinez from The Secret Life of Walter Mitty and Focus. And the Emmy winner and Oscar nominee, Shohreh Aghdashloo from House of Sodom and House of Sand of Fog. Renfield is produced by Skybound Entertainment partners Robert Kirkman and David Alpert, known for Walking Dead and Invincible. A lot of the people, though, from who's working on this, I would expect R-rated content that we're not seeing in these trailers. And I don't see anything about what this is rated yet. Right now, I've got a Wikipedia page pulled up. And even in here, I can't find anything about what it will be rated. I think they might have been able to keep it to a PG-13. I think that's possible. This could be a good horror comedy, although it's strange to come out in April. I would have put this out in October for some fun. But April sometimes is that spring time where you put out something that you don't know exactly what's going to happen with this movie. So you kind of just put it out there just to see if anybody checks it out. But it seems like what could be a fun idea. And it could be interesting. And so I'm curious. And as long as they don't slap an R rating on it, I will check it out. I don't go for R-rated movies. The older I get, the less I go for R-rated movies. Plus, I think R-rated movies have gone further than they used to, in my opinion. But anyways, moving on to the next thing we have here. Oppenheimer, which I don't understand everything about this yet. But it's getting a lot of buzz.
We imagine a future. And our imaginings horrify us. until they understand it. And they won't understand it until they've used it. Theory will take you only so far. I don't know if we can be trusted with such a weapon. But we have no choice.
Coming July 21st from director Christopher Nolan. It was written and directed by Christopher Nolan. Oppenheimer is an IMAX shot epic thriller that thrusts audiences into the pulse-pounding paradox of the enigmatic man who must risk destroying the world in order to save it. And I guess this is some history, and it's hard to tell, you know, if this is like the Manhattan Project. I kind of want to know more of the history, I figure they're basing this off a real historical fact, but, you know, turned into story. But let me read a little bit more of what Universal Pictures has on their official YouTube page for this. The film stars Cillian Murphy as J. Robert Oppenheimer and Emily Blunt as his wife, biologist and botanist Catherine Kitty Oppenheimer. Cillian Murphy is just good. OK, so him playing in this, I mean, I'm expecting some good stuff. Oscar winner Matt Damon portrays General Leslie Groves Jr., director of the Manhattan Project. So I guess that is what it's focusing on. And Robert Downey Jr. plays Louis Strauss, a founding commissioner of the U.S. Atomic Energy Commission. So I think if I was to guess at this, this might be like the, you know, the discovery of atomic energy and the uses it could be in providing energy versus the uses of how it could be a weapon and the conflict of interest of when you discover this, of what could happen and what we know it did eventually happen. I mean, this, we used it. And now hopefully no one ever uses it again, although I think Russia's getting awful close to using it. But that's a whole other issue. I don't want to bring the show down. But there's a lot of different people in this, and this looks very interesting. Film is based on the Pulitzer Prize winning book American Prometheus, The Triumph and Tragedy of J. Robert Oppenheimer by Kai Bird and the late Martin J. Sherwin. The film was produced by Emma Thomas, Atlas Entertainment's Charles Rubin, and Christopher Nolan. We have seen Christopher Nolan doing some historical drama with Dunkirk, which I still haven't gotten a chance to see that yet. But this got my attention. I am very curious about this. So I definitely do want to check this film out when it comes out. But that's all I have right now for the trailer park. And now I just want to get into some fun content. All right, so first, this was kind of news, but also I just wanted to share. There's a lot of these movies I really didn't get to see, but the 80th Golden Globe Awards happened this past week. Best Picture for Drama was The Fablemans, which is a Steven Spielberg film about a young filmmaker. It seems like they haven't really given away a lot of story on that, but it did catch my eye. It looked like it would be interesting. I think it might be available to watch streaming right now, but I haven't watched it. I do plan to check it out. A couple of things that were nominated that I did see was the Elvis film with Austin Butler and Top Gun Maverick, also nominated. Another nomination, those of you who are interested, Avatar The Way of Water, also nominated. Personally, I'm not interested. I could get into an issue, and I don't want to bring the show down. Best Picture for Musical Comedy, The Banshees of Inisherin, I don't know if I said that right at all, was the winner. Some nominations in there, Babylon, which I guess was a box office, you know, Under Expectations, but maybe perhaps a better film than what we give it credit for. I don't know. Glass Onion, a Knives Out mystery. It's on Netflix. I've been wanting to watch Knives Out. I need to sit down and watch that. I haven't seen it, but I'm interested to check it out. And then Everything Everywhere All at Once, which I heard so much about, and I just never got a chance to see it. But they were nominated, the winner being this The Banshees of Inisherin, which I do recognize a picture with this actor who, I cannot think of the actor's name, but his son has been in the Star Wars sequels as a villain. And you would also would recognize him as Mad-Eye Moody, or also his role in Braveheart, and I cannot think of the actor's name. Cate Blanchett won for Best Actress in a Motion Picture Drama. I'm not sure what film it was. let's see, Best Actor, Motion Picture Drama, Austin Butler for his portrayal of Elvis. And I have to say, yeah, I totally agree with that because it was amazing how he transformed into Elvis. Up against some good competition with Brendan Fraser, Hugh Jackman, and Bill Nighy. Also Jeremy Pope. I'm not familiar with Jeremy Pope. All right, let me go to the next page of this, of some other winners. Best Actress in Motion Picture for a Musical Comedy, Michelle Yeoh, winning, of course, for Everything Everywhere All at Once. That's a mouthful to say. Beating Anya Taylor-Joy and Margot Robbie, and even Emma Thompson in some roles. Best Actor for Motion Picture, Musical or Comedy, Colin Farrell. He's in The Banshees of Inisherin as well. I don't know anything about this movie, but I might want to check it out because Colin Farrell, the more I've seen him and the more I'm impressed with him. He is a great actor, but he wins over like Daniel Craig and Adam Driver and even Ralph Fiennes. Wow. Best Supporting Actress in a Motion Picture, Angela Bassett, won for Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. I'll see that when it comes out streaming, I think. Best Supporting Actor in a Motion Picture. This is what I wanted to get to. Ki Hai Kwan is in Everything Everywhere All at Once. I don't know if I say his name right. I think I said his name right. But we know him as Short Round. He won a Golden Globe for Best Supporting Actor. And Brandon Gleeson, there I see him. He was nominated for Best Supporting Actor for that Irish-sounding film. That won. Brandon Gleeson is the guy that I couldn't think of just about 2 minutes ago. But he and Eddie Redmayne even was nominated. And Brad Pitt, wow, all nominated for this. But Ki Hai Kwan won this. If that is available to watch streaming, somebody let me know. I want to check it out. I might go just a little further, you know, just because Best Director, Steven Spielberg for The Fabelmans. I'm going to have to check this movie out. He even beat out James Cameron and Baz Luhrmann, which I'm tired of James Cameron these days. But okay, a whole other different thing. Yes, yes, yes. All right, but anyways, we'll move on. Best Picture Animated, Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio, which that's something else I meant to watch, and I just haven't gotten around to it. I just haven't been watching anything because, well, I've been playing games, and we're going to talk about that. Oh, Marcel the Shell with Shoes On. I guess that has come out. I remember, I think we even talked about the trailer. It looked adorable and fun, and I wanted to check it out, but it has not... I don't think it's popped up anywhere for me to watch yet. I don't know. I don't remember seeing about it in theaters. I need to be paying attention to the theaters maybe. But that the Pinocchio film beat out over Puss in Boots, The Last Wish, and Turning Red, and also something called Inuyo. Turning Red, I guess. Was that this year? It seems like that was last year. It seems a long time ago. But yeah, that's just a few things I wanted to mention from the Golden Globes before I get into what I'm going to talk about of what I've been playing these past couple of weeks. And with, you know, returning to work here for the last couple of weeks, you know, because vacation has to end and I had to go back to work. But I'm, you know, trying to find time to play stuff that I, you know, I had meant when I started a vacation. I had just recently picked up Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core Reunion. Which isn't so much a remake of the Crisis Core game that was a PSP only, as more it was like reskinning it. And you can tell it's reskinned when you play it because some of the animations when you're interacting with other characters or watching a cutscene, the way they'll make a right or a left turn didn't seem like it was motion captured like the remake is. They do this unnatural, what I call a Resident Evil tank control move. They'll rotate left and then walk off, you know, that kind of thing. If you don't understand what I'm talking about, if you play this game and you see it, you'll know what I'm talking about. They have this turn and then walk instead of like a normal human would do, would kind of make your stride as you're walking away and you turning left kind of at the same time. All right. There's a difference and you can see the difference in the animation compared to the remake of Final Fantasy VII versus this. Now, is that a complaint? No, I'm not complaining about this game at all. I had a grand time playing it because I did finally get around to playing it. I just didn't play it at the time that I thought I would. I did, though. I mean, I mainly spent some time on Saturdays and stuff doing it, and I did spend some vacation time doing it. But so I'll go ahead and I'll talk about this game before I talk about the game that dominated most of my vacation that I didn't expect to play. But yes, this definitely gets a recommendation from me. This helps fill in a little bit of the... It's a prequel to the Final Fantasy VII remake and prequel to the Final Fantasy VII game, because at the time that this story of this game, and they kept to it, I think, pretty well, this was a prequel to the original Final Fantasy VII game, and it tells the story of Zack Fair, how he meets up with Aerith and their relationship before he goes on an ill-fated journey with Cloud. Cloud Strife, we know from the Final Fantasy VII, which I really don't want to spoil too much here, but I mean, we go through a whole incident. If those of you who are familiar with the Final Fantasy VII story, when they go to Nibelheim, which, you know, it's Cloud Strife's hometown, and the incident that happens there, it's like a lot of a big build up to that. This is like Sephiroth begins, okay? And Sephiroth being the main villain from Final Fantasy VII. But this tells the story of some different villains, a guy named Genesis. And we get to see the people who trained Zack in the soldier program and how he becomes soldier first class and what happens to the people that trained him, and also the getting into the genetic experiments that Shinra was doing on their soldiers. So, and we really kind of dive into that, and we get to see the effects of it in the Final Fantasy VII, but we get to see some effects of it in the degradation of experiments that were done to some of the people that what it degenerated them and caused different problems. And they're basically the villain of this is really they're doing some bad stuff, but their goal is to try to save themselves. And they're not always the best methods, but by the time they get to the end, you know, Zack Fair kind of realizes, oh, you knew that it would work out like this if you did all this stuff. So I understand you were trying to save your life, but well, you did a lot of bad stuff. But it also jumps right over to the remake. And I could even tell some difference between stuff that had been animated on those PSP and some newer animation that was transitioning it to remake. You can definitely see some difference in the... It's like going from standard definition TV to a high definition TV, if you understand what I'm saying. Or if you're watching it all in high definition, but you watch something in standard definition on a high def that hasn't really had the upscaling, yeah, I think you'll understand what I'm saying. I mean, you can definitely tell that it's not as these rendered cutscenes, and they are fantastic looking, but you can tell they're not at the full quality of what they were rendering them now. They were the original renders of these little bits, and you get some of these little video bits whenever you trigger a summon. And which the interesting thing is the gameplay is very different and the combat is very different, in that you have a like a roulette wheel that will bring up either, you know, characters and numbers. And when certain character you get three of a certain character, it has certain effects, certain numbers all come together, it have certain effects. And this will keep rolling while you're in a combat and will allow you to at times use a limit break or a summon depending upon what numbers come up. So it keeps the combat fresh. You can't necessarily time when you would want to use a summon or a limit break or whatever, because you have to have one unlocked through this roulette wheel. So it makes it very interesting. But the majority of the game is you going from combat to combat. It's very much an action-oriented game, and you will spend more time doing the side missions than you will do, I think, on the main story. That's why I spent most of my time up. I like, you know, if I can level myself up above to where I'm more powerful than I need to be for that part of the story, I will certainly do it. And so I did do that with the goal in mind. You can find most of my playthrough, I think the majority of it, on the official YouTube channel that we have, the Neverland Official Gaming Channel. You can watch me play through this game. Be aware of spoilers and everything like that. Most of the time was spent playing these side missions, trying to build up the Zack's abilities and level them up and gain new materia and combining materia. And once I kind of happened upon how to combine materia to create a death materia and loading that now into ever, because you've got like four or five different sets of how you can set up your materia and your weapons and your gear, and you can switch between them based upon situation. You've already got everything kind of preset. And so you can kind of choose which set you want to use for whatever situation. But once I had that death ones figured out, it'll cause some instant kills on a lot of things. And that came in handy. And if it doesn't instantly kill, it does a lot of damage. But I had a lot of fun. There's a lot of interesting strategy to this and very combat oriented. I still haven't even done every single side mission. There's a lot of things still left for me to do. But I wanted to finish the story once I got to a certain point. I was really interested in getting the story rolling, and especially when we hit a certain point that I was getting the story that I was familiar with when he meets up with his friend Cloud Strife. And also there's some side mission of trying to build a flower cart for Aerith. We learn how Aerith becomes the flower girl where she's selling flowers in Midgar. But you know, there's a lot of things where we get to meet some of the characters we're familiar with going into this, and also getting to see at the point where Zack Fair and Cloud Strife after Nibelheim are then themselves experimented on. You get to see a lot more about Professor Hojo trying to create Sephiroth clones because Sephiroth was his greatest achievement for what he did. He basically created a monster, and that's a theme, is are we men, are we humans, or are we monsters for what's been done to us? And a lot of stuff is done to Cloud and Zack over the course of about 4 years, and then it's years later that they make a return, and that was Zack Fair and Cloud. Cloud is kind of out of it, but Zack doesn't realize he's lost so much time. And there's some really good heartbreaking scenes or bits where he finds out about all these letters that Aerith wrote him, not knowing where he was. And then she eventually just stopped writing letters after about 88 letters. And you'll learn some stuff about some characters that you thought maybe were kind of bad, but maybe they're not all bad due to some of the stuff dealing with these letters, but I don't want to spill any more guts. I don't want to spoil this for you. I do recommend it. I did have a lot of fun playing through this game. So definitely, and did I enjoy it as much as the remake? Maybe not necessarily. I really loved the remake. Was a great journey and adventure through story. This is it was originally made on a smaller system, and it was more focused on gameplay and action gameplay and a little less on the story, but it was still an interesting story. And it was still fun to play. So I definitely recommend this for it's, I believe, might be on PC now, but probably not. But it is for PS5 and I believe PS4 as well. So why didn't I get started right away? Well, I did kind of. I started playing it, but then I saw the holiday sales and I found the Disney Dreamlight Valley very inexpensive on a holiday sale for the PlayStation right now. Those of you with an Xbox, if you have the I forgot what they call that, your game program where you get to stream stuff for free. You were given access to Disney Dreamlight pretty free, but I got it. I got the Founders package for a pretty good deal, so I went ahead and picked it up. And then I started playing it, and I started having so much fun with it that I got distracted. It's a heck of a lot of fun, and it's very addicting. And I've said many times I didn't leave Disney so much as they left me. But this is just getting in the right spots of letting me play around with Mickey, Donald, and Goofy, and Minnie, and some of those classic characters, and even characters that I love like Wally. As I mentioned before, Buzz and Woody are in there, and I finally got to unlock and play some adventures with Stitch. Ariel and Eric are in there, and Ursula's in there. I mean, a lot of just fun characters. Some of the newer characters, too. I wasn't that interested in the Frozen characters. And Moana's fun to have there. I like the movie Moana, but I was like, oh, okay, nice. They're in there. There was a lot more classic characters I wish were in there. They keep and some promotional imagery, and even imagery as the game's loading, they show Belle, but Belle's not in the game, and Belle would be somebody I'd want to unlock. Belle and all the Beauty and the Beast characters. There's a lot of characters I wish were in the game. They're not there yet, but there seems to be promise that they're coming, because if you go into the castle where you unlock different realms to unlock these people, there is a lot of doors that are not, don't have a symbol on them, because basically what you do is there's a door that's got a symbol, it's got night thorns on it. You remove the night thorns for the cost of a certain amount of dreamlight that you acquire. I'll explain this here later. And you go into that realm, you do a few extra side quests, you bring that character into your valley, and then you have, while you're leveling them up to 10 for activities, you get all these different little fun little quests and adventures to go on with that character. But you'll do a lot of the basic things. I mean, this is Animal Crossing in a lot of ways. You'll do a lot of farming, mining, fishing, crafting, all kinds of different stuff. And it's just fun. You can decorate your little home with a lot of fun Disney items and stuff like that. You can go shopping in Scrooge McDuck's store and buy different type of items for your home or different clothing. And it's mainly from a lot of the marketing, a lot of material I've seen, I think they're mainly aiming at the ladies for this game, which I think women have more fun with Animal Crossing than us men do. I'm presuming because my wife is still playing the daylights out of Animal Crossing, and I've kind of left it because I kind of ran out of things to do other than trying to collect that last few fish or whatever. And it's so random on what fish you got in Animal Crossing that I'm kind of like, okay, well, I want to move on. I got a backlog of games that I want to play. And that's kind of what happened here. I've now finished every quest that's available to me for all the characters, and so I was able to just set Dreamlight Valley aside. But it is a nice, just casual game to just to kind of fool around, and like all the different characters you bring in, you just choose what ability they are going to enhance your farming, foraging, mining, or fishing. And then so you take one of those characters with you when you go and do one of those activities, and they'll give you some bonuses. And also, if you're trying to level them up, they'll get a little bit bonus experience for different things. And they'll help you when you're trying to, you know, iron ore is the biggest commodity I needed all the time is iron ore to make iron ingots, which takes 5 ore to make 1 ingot. And then some quests I need like 10 ingots. So, yeah, it's a whole lot of harvest. And you have a certain amount of energy level that they put in there because Game Loft is, I think, more familiar with making mobile games. And they have an energy level that, oh, yep, you're out of time for today. You've run out of energy unless you want to pay a little extra to the mobile game, you know. But now I've already bought the game, so now I can just, if I run home, I get all my energy back. Or if I eat some food, and there's also a cooking aspect. And I've had a lot of fun looking up all the different recipes and making the different recipes and working in Remy's restaurant, Chez Remy, making restaurants for all of the Disney characters that come in and will order food. So, I mean, there's a lot of different fun activities, and it's really casual. You can just sit there and fool around and do stuff. There is one thing I'd kind of like to craft. There's like the Mickey Mouse water tower. I kind of want to craft it, but it takes a lot of materials, and I'm like, oh, I'm so tired of harvesting iron ore that I don't want to go and need 100 ingots, I think, for that thing. So, I run out of things to do, and I'll move on and play something else. But when the next edition comes out, when I hear about it, I will jump back on and play with the new editions. So it's definitely, I think, worth picking up if you still enjoy some of the Disney characters. So the next thing, I'm about to move my microphone around. The next thing that I've been playing here recently, and I'm still working on my first playthrough, and I have a little bit of footage of me trying out Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga. But the video that I have online, the videos that I have, I'm still kind of getting my bearings, and I'm used to the old Lego games where you basically just want to collect as many studs as you possibly can so you can unlock stuff. And they have a lot of hub areas, like or worlds or planets. Like on Tatooine, you have like a Jund Lind Waste area. You also have Mos Espa or Mos Eisley. Different areas that you can play through some story modes of that, but not necessarily be playing a level. But it's also open world. Each one is like an open world. And there's a lot of activities to do to collect studs, collect data cards, collect kyber crystals, so many different things to collect to unlock things. And I got caught up in just running around collecting stuff that I was like, I'm really not getting anywhere in the story. And I'm sure I made some fairly boring videos. Well, I quit making videos and I was like, you know what? I am just going to focus on playing through some of the story. So now I've played through the original trilogy and... let's see, I believe I'm about to start Revenge of the Sith. I went through the original trilogy, then I've gone back and started playing the prequels. And eventually I'll get around to playing the sequels. I'll play all of the through the story things. And I've worked on unlocking a few things. There's one thing I wish I could have I would have known I could unlock first. I would have done it first. And that is, with one data card and about a million Lego studs, you can unlock, you double your... The value of the Lego sets, which of course after doubling by going 2 million, now you can 4 times, you know, it goes up each time. But so I want to go through those levels to get where all my studs are more valuable, and then it'll be a lot easier to unlock enough studs to purchase all these side characters that I unlock or ships. And there's different character classes. There's scoundrels, there's scavengers, there's evil characters, there's hero characters, there's Jedis, and there's dark side characters, and there's extra characters. And one goofy character, I believe he was marked as an extra, was Frozen Han. I haven't played with Frozen Han, but I unlocked him because I thought it was hilarious that these are playable characters, Frozen Han. But there's so much activities in there that really you can go through, play the stories, have your fun doing that, and then as casually go through and solve the puzzles and have all the fun of unlocking everything, which I believe last time I spoke with Eric, he was talking about he's still working on trying to unlock everything because there is just so much. And I think he might be aiming for a platinum on that game. I don't know if I'm going to platinum and try to unlock everything on that because there's just so much and I have a backlog of games that I want to play. So when I'm done playing through the main bits of story, I may set this aside. And I recently acquired Tunic, which is basically, imagine a cute little fox dressed up like Link from the Legend of Zelda series. I would like to play that. Also, I need to, I guess, sit and play these God of War games, and I've got even some PlayStation 4 games that stacked up that I didn't finish Red Dead Redemption 2 or Far Cry 4. I didn't even start Far Cry 5, but I own it. And I got a lot of games that I've bought, and then a lot of games I have access to because of PlayStation Plus thing. So I want to move on to other games and play different stuff. And I even have a Call of Duty game that Philip gave me. It was set in the 80s. I think it's Cold War, and it's set in the 80s. And we had fun playing it when it first came out, playing the, I forgot what you would call it, basically, where it was us versus a bunch of bots. And then we were running around a shopping mall, and I just loved it running around a shopping mall. It was so 80s. It was great. There was an arcade, and we was like, all right, we're going to claim the arcade and defend it. Stuff like that. Had a lot of fun playing with Philip on that. So I figure I'll play through the story on that at some point, too. But I got a stack of things I want to play, and even some new games coming. I've already reserved a deluxe copy of Hogwarts Legacy, and I'm getting a solid copy of that, not a digital copy, because I wanna get a disc. So, and maybe we'll be able to talk about that a little bit later. Like Eric's best friend, Adrian Rapp, we had at a convention. You might be familiar with Adrian Rapp. You're familiar with Disney. He did a lot of work with Avalanche Studios before with the Disney Infinity. He drew storyboards and worked with a lot of the voice actors. I don't know if he's got a chance to work on this one. He's been ill. I think he's on dialysis and stuff now. So, you know, prayers to him. And I think we had for a long time, we had links up where you could support him and his family and help him out financially. But I don't believe that campaign's going on anymore. But I don't know if he's really gotten to do a lot of work on that. I don't know if he's still working with Avalanche. I'm not sure. But if at some point he's allowed to be able to talk about the game and he has worked on it, I would love to have him on the show to share. Plus, I think he's got even some new books with his comic strips that he draws. He's a, you know, comic book artist. I mean, he's drawn Archie and the Pink Panther, lots of different characters he's gotten to work on for different comic companies. A lot of neat stuff, but you can also buy a lot of his art directly, some prints. But yeah, he's just a really cool guy. And if he gets to come and talk to us about Hogwarts Legacy at some point, I will try to have him on to do that. But I'm looking forward to that game coming out, and I want to have everything kind of cleaned up before that game comes out, because I think that's going to consume a lot of my time when that game releases. So yeah, I'm trying to play through as many things as I can. So I finish work, I come home, I play. That's pretty much what I've been doing. I even took some time. I wanted to play through Stray again. Now it's available on PS5, and I went ahead, instead of just having the free copy from PlayStation Plus, I was like, you know, this is an independent developer, let me throw some money their way. So I went and purchased it because it was on a holiday sale as well. So I've picked that one up as well and played through it again. And I gotta say, if you have not played this game on a PS5 or with something that has haptic feedback, it's totally worth it. They moved all the cats meowing and everything. You're basically, it's like you're holding the cat that you're playing as in your hands, because the purrs come from it, and it even vibrates in a good purr. I mean, the haptic feedback with the vibration, it was just amazing with the purring and how the different meows and different sounds that your kitty would make and stuff. It was a great, much more fun, different experience. I mean, I loved playing it on the PS4, but it was a much more fun experience on PS5 with all the different things they can do with that controller on a PS5. So I definitely recommend it if you haven't played it already. And it was, I think we've discussed Stray, and I tried to explain it to Philip at one time. Just a great game, and apparently you can beat it in 2 hours. That's an achievement, apparently, is to finish the game in 2 hours. I generally take my time going through it, but I guess as I've unlocked some stuff and I got some trophies on it, maybe I will try to speed run it someday, you know. But I got, like I said, I got a backlog of things, but I just felt like playing through it again because I wanted to get my trophies, because the PS4 trophies didn't translate over. So I'm like, I gotta earn them again. All right, here we go then. And I earned more trophies on the PS5 playthrough than I did on the PS4 playthrough. So another game I definitely recommend. But anyways, it's time to wrap this up. I am working on some guests to come over in the next few weeks. We're looking forward to a return with Phil Lawler very soon. I'm working on that. And hey, don't forget, Planet Comic Con here in Kansas City. We have a panel on both Friday and Sunday, and I'm working on seeing about getting there Saturday, but I might save my money, because I do have a budget. I might save my money to just be able to buy things on Friday and Sunday, and so maybe I might not be there on Saturday, because I'm pretty sure I will only officially be allowed in my panel days. I don't think I get a free pass for Saturday, which is fine. I guess that's fair, you know, which means I would have to buy an expensive ticket. And that ticket is money that I could, you know, I could be using, spending it on different things. Like I was just seeing some more cast from Star Trek The Next Generation, like Jonathan Frakes and Brent Spiner will be at Planet Comic Con here. And if I can get in there like on a Sunday and a Friday, it's not that busy. If they're there on those days, maybe I'll get into their lines and get some signed stuff. That, I don't know. It's an idea. It's some stuff I'm thinking about doing. But anyways, let's wrap this up here. Of course, make sure you visit NeverlandPodcast.com on the front page. Make sure you go through and find that my podcast reviews. If you happen to have a podcast and you want to see your reviews from around the world, great service there that will send your reviews to your email. So make sure you go and visit that. And hopefully you've all now made the transition over with me to Red Circle. So we have a brand new RSS feed, by the way. Red Circle is a pretty nice service too. I don't know. There are ads that they're going to be putting in the podcast, and I'm sure you've heard a few. So if you want to get away from those ads, we have a Patreon page, patreon.com/Neverland Podcast, for just $1 a month, and you can get an ad-free RSS feed specific to you for everything I put over there. Of course, we're on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter, Neverland PCast and Neverland Podcast on Facebook and Twitter, respectively. We also have a Facebook group. But I'd also like to thank Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope of the Christian Nerds Unite, and Darren Wilhite of the Will Height and Wall Show for helping me out with the intro. And now, get lost in an adventure! And I will see you next time.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.